It's Thursday, December 31st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you. Happy New Year, and I got some special guests on the line. We're going to have a lot of fun. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Happy New Year. It's recording in the daytime on January 31st, and that is... as you all know, very unusual. Maybe two or three shows a year I do actually in the daylight. Sun's still shining. I've got the room darkened out here for those of you on Ustream so the video doesn't get too washed out. I've got two special guests on the line, and we'll talk to them here in just a few minutes. But, of course, I want to welcome all of the new listeners. We've got lots of new listeners coming to the show because, hey, everyone got iPods, got iPod Touches, got all types of mobile media devices like a Zune over the Christmas holidays. You've gotten your new iPhones. Androids, whatever it may be, and I know you're tuning in because I see the increase in numbers. I want to welcome all of you to the Geek News Central podcast. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. You can get signed up for our newsletter by essentially going over to geeknewscentral.com, clicking the newsletter link. That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And really, the newsletter contains everything that I talk about during the show. Now, today, we're doing a little bit of a non-traditional show. I've got two guests on the line. I'm going to introduce them here in a second. But normally, it's just me and you. And you're part of the Ohana. And Ohana is really, and here in Hawaii, Ohana is family. And I want to welcome you to the Ohana by listening to the show. And of course, getting subscribed via the links on the website. Of course, we want to welcome listeners from 160 countries worldwide. And for those of you that are out there that are longtime listeners of the show, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the family. And of course, hey, you probably are the ones that got all those new listeners, all those cool gifts for Christmas. So make sure you help them out and get them tuned in to the great world of podcasting. And whatever they may be interested in, there's a show out there for them. Of course, we hope that you point them over to either Tech Podcast or Blueberry.com, whatever it may be. Well, folks, my stuff is in Vegas. All five boxes are there. And don't know what my FedEx bill is going to be, but I think it's going to point a little bit north of $400 to get everything there. So one thing about living in Hawaii, everything is air. There is no ground to Vegas. They do have UPS ground, but that takes forever to get sent out. So everything's in FedEx. Signature came through. So all that's missing in Vegas is me plus a couple of people that I have online. And today I want to introduce Andy McCaskey from SDR News. Andy, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast.
Hey, Todd. We're getting excited here.
Of course. And I have Kara. Kara, why don't you introduce everyone to the show and let them know really who you are and basically how in the world did you get intermixed and hooked up with this motley crew going to Vegas?
Thanks, Todd. My name is Kara Karsten, and a former colleague of Andy's from Tech Days, non-radio and non-podcaster, just helping out Andy at other shows. He's been telling me about CES for a while and daring me to go along. So I'm signed up with you guys and six others, a total of eight guys and myself. Ready to hit Vegas next week.
And, you know, Andy was telling me yesterday that you started to understand the scope of what we're about to undertake. You were kind of going through the maps of the floors, and you started to finally kind of realize how crazy this show really is.
I already expected that it would be, just from hearing enough of Andy's stories and seeing how fried everyone is the last couple nights doing their shows. So, but just looking at the maps does really bring it all home as to how many booths are in each floor. It really is mind-boggling.
And it's not only just every floor, Andy. It's the whole assembly of Vegas, the Hilton Convention Center, LVCC. Now, we're not going to be at the Sands this year, but I bet you they've got everybody just packed as tight as they can be, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real challenge. You know, in the previous years that we've done this, the past 4 years, we've kind of established our own approach. And now Carr is trying to impose some discipline on that. And that's become a challenge, I think.
Well, I think it's just nice to have some extra bodies kind of doing organization and, you know, worrying about the stuff that, you know, we normally have to worry about ourselves. You know, I got a little sheet of paper here. And on one side is my gouge for all the video encoding. This will go. Now, this is like the top secret gouge information I sent to the list last night. This is our master formula for all the video. It's really not top secret, but I don't share this with very many people. And then on the back side is all my weights and box sizes for FedEx when we get ready to leave. So, yeah, this is my extent of my paperwork I have to take to Vegas. So I'm sure that this one piece of paper will turn into 4 or 5 FedEx boxes to have to come back.
Yeah, you know, the first year or two, we were going through and picking up the T-shirts and the swag and making sure we got coffee cups and everybody was handing out that stuff.
Yep.
And now we appreciate the thought, but man, I don't want to pay for another FedEx box to ship that stuff back home.
I've got 3 FedEx boxes, and because we've got some, I guess how we should say it, some new folks joining us this year, those FedEx boxes are for them to put their stuff in so I can ship it home, because I know the resistance is futile for new attendees, because you get there and you're like, T-shirt, swag, another screwdriver, another flashlight, another squeeze ball. And after they hump that stuff for 4 days and they're looking at the pile of it on their bed, they're going to be like, there is no way, no way I am taking all this stuff home. But I've got boxes for them to ship at home. So we'll see how much stuff they collect.
Yeah, Carr, you've been warned, but if you hadn't been warned, what would be some of the things that you'd be particularly interested in picking up in trade show swag?
Well, I'm not going to give you the answer that you want. Should I fake an answer so you get the... I have already been to enough trade shows that I've learned to say no, and I'm living lean these days. Uh-huh. So what's going through my mind as you describe this is, will there really be something that makes me succumb? So that'll be the test. What will Cara just absolutely have to take home?
Oh, you mean from a product standpoint?
Or from the swag, whatever. Can I truly resist?
Well, it'll be curious. Now, Andy, I was all prepped to put you up on the main screen. And, of course, all good plans come to an end when you start the show, because I clicked on video feed number 6 and you didn't appear on the screen. You were a black page that everyone on YouTube and Ustream just got to see. So, I'm sure everyone's thinking, what is this guy doing back here? But hey, you know, it's one of those, when you have these many wires down here, all you got to do is bump the wrong one at the right time, and it just throws everything in a mess. So, yeah. Andy, you know, I was, this morning I woke up here, I actually woke up at 5 today because I was trying to get the Q1 2010 podcast advertising campaigns launched, and I was quite literally from 5 a.m. until noon running around here with a chicken with my head cut off, getting everything finalized. And the final email came in from the vendor, basically giving me the final deliverables and getting that popped out. So quite literally up to about 2 hours ago, I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to get, you know, Q1 starts tomorrow. So you should have got an email in your inbox,
yeah,
inviting you to the Q1 campaign. And now, of course, someone's calling. Oh, that's my lovely wife, and she will have to wait until I'm available. So we're going to have a new sponsor for Consumer Electronics Show this year. It's a sponsor that neither you or I have had on our shows before, haven't we?
Yeah, that's true. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that you have used the product in the next 3 or 4 days. That's one of the things I'm going to be doing, is downloading the demo and trying to get a little bit of experience with the product itself. So that's going to be fun.
It is, and I made a little video last night that we're going to be placing in all of the embeds of the product placement and everything for them. So I'm pretty excited about rolling that out at CES, and we won't talk about it on the show today, but because actually the campaign starts tomorrow. So.
And while we're doing all this business stuff, Cara has been coordinating the party schedule.
That's right.
Ensure that that we have our hours allocated properly. And she's, how many days do you think we really need to cover CES?
Not counting the parties, just the halls, I would like to have about 6 days.
Unfortunately, it lasts for 4 days, right?
And we're losing a lot of time with the special studio time there. So we will be running fast.
And of course, our two events, Saturday and Sunday, at our good friends at NBC Universal, have given us access to their stage, and we're going to be. Someone's got a telephone close to a mic. We're going to be doing two live streaming events, 1 hour each. We're going to have guests from a variety of companies that are going to come on and share their product information with us. So hopefully we'll find some really cool, niche-y stuff that we'll be able to present during those 2 hours. But, Cara, remind me, what time are we streaming on Saturday, and what time are we streaming on Sunday? What time do they have us ready to go live?
5 o'clock Pacific on Saturday and noon Pacific on Sunday, I believe, was our final the final answer. We went back and forth a few times yesterday.
Yeah, we were originally supposed to go a little later in the afternoon on Sunday, but that's okay with me. The time slot they've given us for Sunday, that works out. We're just, but you know, this is a unique deal for us because, you know, generally we're working the floor pretty hard, and really this is going to take about a 2.5 hour whack out of our collection day. So we're really going to have to move fast Thursday and Friday, and then of course Saturday morning, because I think, don't you think, Andy, it's going to be pretty much a ghost town come really probably Sunday afternoon?
I'm be careful not to step on the crickets. I was surprised that they ran it over the weekend.
Right.
Although we had a situation, it was the last year or 2 years ago where it ran over on a Sunday, I believe.
Well, I've never remembered a Sunday, but the next two years
it was a Saturday that it ended up.
Yeah, the next 2 years are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, well, this year, next year. So, it'll be curious to see how the show floor is. You know, those companies have spent a lot of money, and I'm sure that the CEOs of those companies are going to guarantee that they get the most bang for their buck, and they're going to be, you know, they it may not be as desolate as we think it is.
Maybe. Yes. I guess we'll find out. The Cara, I was trying to think some other things that you've been looking at, just trying to figure the communications plan between the 8 or 9 people that we're going to have on the floor there.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting. Everyone has some kind of a device that they'll be carrying, but I don't think we should bother trying to call each other. It sounds like it'd be pretty loud. And signals will be weak. We'll try text messaging, I think, for the most part. We'll have a pair of walkie-talkies. I can say a couple things about the way I think we're going to attack the teaming. We've got the 8 people plus a spare in the morning. So we're going to have two camera teams, one camera per team, one main camera, and two main interviewers who will be kind of leapfrogging each other. So while one is doing an interview, the next one will be down the row, down the aisle, scouting out for the next one. And then the cameraman, the two interviewers, and then a fourth person who's doing everything else. And I have not started compiling that list yet, but it's going to be a long one. They'll be taking still shots and traffic control to make sure that someone's not walking in between the interviewer and the interviewee, getting business cards, giving business cards, just a long, long list of things that person is going to have to do.
Yeah, and that's actually the two HD cameras that are being used to do the official interviews. We're going to have probably three or maybe four back channel cameras running at the same time. And, you know, back channel is always entertaining. In fact, I was I flipped it up on the Roku here last night, and there was a back channel of and the title of it was something like Space Aliens Suck Out Todd's Brain. Because we were in this place and having a conversation, and Todd just kind of like totally flaked out. I mean, it just like the space monsters came up behind him. He was out, and we just kept the back channel rolling. And so you have to watch for these things. But whoever titled that, Jeffrey must have been the one who titled that that particular clip.
Well, you know, it's one of those deals where you know if you get an extra 5 seconds to sit down somewhere, you know, sleep when you can. You know, it's just it's one of those deals. You got to do her.
You know, Todd, how many stills did you say you wanted to come home with?
A couple thousand. if we have any luck, we come home with a couple thousand stills. That's the goal. We'll see if we're able to do it. You know, one thing, talking about the parties, you know, the parties really are not, people say, oh, you're going to go there, you're going to have parties. Well, the parties are really not parties, because generally we don't drink at the parties. We actually work at the parties. The Friday night's probably the big night. I have a dinner with Ford Motor Corporation, along with a few other analysts. So that's a big opportunity for me to pick the folks' brains at Ford a little bit and talk to the executives there. And then Andy and you and Jeffrey probably are going to be smooshing up with the Hewlett-Packard folks that night as well.
We've got that. And I know Scott Elliott has had some interest in, there are some leading Chinese companies that are having a separate reception. And since he's worked in that area of the world before in the technology area, particularly manufacturing, he's very anxious to speak with them and participate in that event.
I think come Friday night, we're probably all going to be ready to sleep a few extra hours Saturday morning just because of the pace of things. And I know that, you know, I'm hoping things slow down a little bit on Saturday, but as things tend to do, it's just you never seem to catch a break and, you know, something else comes up. But I think we're going to be pretty well engaged with Digital Experience, Showstoppers, CES Unveiled. Those are all evening events. And I'm sure many listeners of the show have heard this before. You know, you go into this big, beautiful room. They have a huge spread of food. They have every cocktail imaginable that you can partake of. And what do? We usually kind of wait to the end and almost sometimes end up just getting scraps of what's left of the food because we work the floor so hard. So it would be nice to be able to take 10 minutes during these shows sometimes and eat, don't you think?
Yeah, well, actually, Cara's going to keep us on task there. When we worked the HP Tech Forum, Jeffrey and myself were there, but Cara was the one who was always saying, "Hey guys, you know, it's time to go get some lunch here, you know, and you know, let's take some time out."
Yeah, that's, you know, the thing is, it's always difficult to take that time out because you're so. It's make money time. You know, you got so much to do in such a short period of time. And, but, you know, we'll find time for lunch. sometimes.
Not on one of the days we won't. Sunday we won't. No lunch on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Because of the NBC Universal.
Well, we'll have to get lunch early then or get lunch afterwards or something.
Yeah.
One thing you have to look forward to, Cara, on Sunday night, we always have, we go someplace nice and have a nice sit-down, real meal, full spread. So while you've been grazing the entire week at different events, Sunday night is the night that we'll actually have a good meal.
I can see.
You'll have to fax it to me.
Oh, I can see her expression. Oh, man. Because Cara's flight is Sunday evening.
Oh, no. Well, we'll have to make sure we...
Ask me why.
Why?
Jury duty.
Oh, that's right.
I was going back Monday, but I got called, and that's the only week between now and when I, you know, between now and 6 months from now that I could do it.
Well, let me take just a second here and put a word out about the sponsors of this show. And, of course, today we're kind of doing an interesting little show because it's more a kind of an end-of-year deal and having a little fun. So it's really non-traditional for a typical Geek News Central podcast. But really, the only way I keep the lights on here is because of the sponsors. And when you are looking for domain names, you're looking for a shared hosting account, a dedicated server, I want you to go over to GoDaddy.com. Pick up one of the products over there. Shop through what they have available. They have a plethora of products and services available. And, you know, if you're only looking for a domain, then when you get done picking that domain out, just, you know, go straight to the shopping cart. You can do that as well. But don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central, because you can use my promo code TODD for non-domain orders to save 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Or Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And I want to thank GoDaddy again, coming on now a full 5+ years sponsorship here of the Geek News Central podcast. And they're definitely appreciated, and we look forward to supporting them into 2010, of course. And, of course, as well, Citrix with GoToMeeting. Just yesterday, Andy, we were basically talking and said, hey, we need to have a quick meeting. And you actually fired up a GoToMeeting session. We bopped into it, took care of we were in there an hour and 15 minutes, took care of a business. Everyone was on the voice IP call. Actually, I was mobile at the time, so I called in via dial-in line. I wasn't even seeing the computer at the time, but the rest of the folks that were on there were. And it just makes an easy way to have a meeting. So, you know, if you're looking to say, go ahead, Andy.
The other thing is that because voice is built into the plan,
you and
because you can use it as much as you want, it's just no problem. You need a phone bridge, you just fire up a GoToMeeting session. And in that case, I think 95% of what we did was just the voice.
Yeah.
And particularly since you had to hop in the car and get on your mobile and couldn't continue on VoIP, you had that flexibility. And that's one of the great things about GoToMeeting.
That's true, too. And I kind of forget about that, because I automatically assume that everyone has a conference call system, and most people don't. But that's, you know, it comes with the product, so you're right. So if you want to check out GoToMeeting, as a listener of this show, you can get a free 30-day trial. You can do that by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day trial. So let me look at my little list here of what I've got, Andy. And I had some of the listeners actually send me a couple of comments on what they want to see at the show when we're there. Last year, the audience, at least of the Geek News Central podcast, I had a lot of people respond saying they want to see what's new coming in video cameras. You know, we saw Kodak last year with their new camera. Matter of fact, Jeffrey's going to have one of their cameras, or that specific camera, at the show this year shooting video. The audience members want to see what's new in the video camera line. You know, these flip cameras and the Sony Webby. And actually got a rumor, and I don't know if you were CC'd on this email or not, Sony may be hooking us up with a couple of cameras. So don't know what the story on that is yet. We'll find out more soon. But lots of camera stuff going on. So we're going to find out, really, we'll see all these new cameras that are going to be coming out.
So, Carl, when you go into, you have a Canon, right? When you go in to take shots, are you going to just kind of cover the logo? Is that kind of the plan?
Do I need to be careful where I do that? Another part of the training session that we need to have, huh?
Yeah, I think that they have a fairly decent sense of humor, but I know that there was one manufacturer, Todd, that you said that we needed to make sure which team with what camera went to shoot.
Oh, what? Yeah. Yeah. The Sony camera probably should go into the Sony booth. And when we go to the JVC booth, the JVC HD should probably go to the JVC booth. That, you know, just makes you a little more politically correct.
Yeah, these people just seem to be more cordial, you know.
They do, you know. They oh, you're using our product, and little do they know there's two other Sonys over on the next aisle over. But that's okay. We love everybody equally, you know. As I tell my audience, I'm an equal opportunity basher when it comes between different products and services, including Mac and PC and everything else. But another thing that the audience wants me to look for this year is netbooks. Now, you know, I don't know. Netbooks, there's so many of them. What new can come in netbooks this year?
The whole product line of netbooks kind of bothers me, because I think originally when they came out, the idea would be to have a very lightweight equipment and lightweight operating system as well, where I think initially a lot of them were Linux-based. They intended to operate through the cloud, have very basic functionality. And then all of a sudden, people start piling laptop sorts of features into these things with underpowered processors, and then try and put Vista on top of that, and then they backed off to XP. But there has been a real mismatch. And what I see in netbooks is that the very simple, elegant triple EPC thing has kind of gone away. And what you have are, in my opinion, kind of overpriced, minimally performing laptops.
Well, you know, I took quite a bashing from my audience when I really kind of was bashing netbooks. And I, you know, to this day, I don't own one. But also, you know, I travel a lot, and I need to have a machine that has some power underneath it. And I guess, you know, people, you know, I spent 90 days in a hotel last year, 90 plus days, and most people don't do that. So I understand why traveling or just going around town with a netbook makes sense for most folks. But yeah, it's going to be interesting what happens in that space. Now, today it was released, or actually leaked. I'm sure Sprint leaked this, quote unquote, to build a little buzz. But there is you remember last year Verizon had the MiFi?
Yep.
Well, Sprint is coming out with what's called the Overdrive. It's a dual mode WiMAX/EVDO mobile hotspot. And it's going to be $50. And it's made by, who's actually making it? I don't know who's actually making the actual device, but you've heard me talk badly about my U301 card that does both 3G and Wi-Fi. WiMAX. So I'm hoping that this Sprint Overdrive has a little bit better capability within it, but this will be something hot that everyone's going to see next week from the folks at Sprint.
Yeah. I've been very happy with the Cradle Point and then the Sierra wireless card for 3G. And because I don't actually live in a WiMAX area, I just travel to WiMAX areas. I have the separate modems. My plan is just go ahead. And what I've done in Chicago is just unplug the EVDO, plug in the WiMAX dedicated modem, and go from there.
So you pay for two accounts?
I pay for two accounts, but the program that Clear had, you didn't have to sign up for a 2-year contract.
Oh, okay. It was basically month to month. All right.
And the WiMAX modem was like $50, and the combo modem was, I think, $250 or $275. It was quite expensive in order to do that. So that's kind of the approach I've continued with.
Now, reading I found this article over on Engadget. They're saying, this is a device made by Sierra. So the Overdrive 3G/4G mobile hotspot. So we'll have to see how this works. And matter of fact, the Sprint rep called me today. They had read my blog post and how I had really slaughtered the U301 itself, talking badly about the design, because the U301 card itself, when it's in 3G mode, doesn't perform as good as my old Novatel card, which I absolutely love. So they're going to come to some sort of a resolution for me next week. I may end up with two cards out of the deal. We'll see how it goes. But when you squeal loudly on the internet, sometimes company listens. We'll see. And if they can get me, and I don't mind paying for the service as long as the performance of the cards are good. I do want to bring up another thing I found today, Andy, you know, that I think you will appreciate here. You know, both of us saw the breakup of AT&T. And Kara, I don't know, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but many of us saw when AT&T was broke up and was, you know, they were forced to make their long distance separate from their POTS lines. Today, the AT&T has asked the FCC whether or not the when they're going to basically deregulate POTS and remove all the, they say POTS is going the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah, that's, I saw that as well. The they would love to get out from under the regulatory requirements.
Yeah.
That are associated with providing that service. I think there's some real issues from a societal standpoint there. We love technology. We're, you know, we're into these devices. We have enough disposable income. We can take advantage of them. There are a lot of people who can't. And, I think there are, we have to recognize that we're still, and much of our audience is still on the early adopter or early majority portion of the curve, and that there are a large number of people that are still dependent on the wired network, and that's going to be with us for many, many years.
You know, I've got a wireless phone here that's tied to a standard POTS line, and we have I've got it tied to a DSL contract, but before, not a contract, but DSL service for my, I guess, my secondary backup internet service here. But when I didn't have DSL tied to this line, I had basically no features on it whatsoever. We're using our cell phones for long distance and so forth. The contract on this was $13 or $14 a month with Hawaiian Telecom. And, you know, I have always found, and you know that I've used my bridge many times for interviews when we're doing the roundtable and so forth. I just, for that $14, I know many people have done it, but I'm having a very hard time cutting the cord, especially when I'm sitting here with my AT&T mobile device, with the iPhone device, and I'm sitting here with one bar on AT&T. 5 minutes from now, it'll say 3 bars, and then it'll go back down to 1 bar, and it'll go back to 3 bars. You know, for some of us, even though I could cut the cord, my service, really, I'm not confident enough in it to do so. Not right there, right back up to 3 bars, almost 4 bars. You know, they heard me talking, so they turn the antenna this way a little bit.
Yeah, hey, that's that's going to be the killer app, Todd. Digital voice.
Yeah, well, it's been big every show for the last couple of years, but most of the stuff has been proprietary stovepipe type of systems. We'll see what's announced and what comes out this year. I think we probably will see a lot of stuff going on with digital voice.
Yeah, Cara, are you still on? Are you on cellular exclusively, or do you still have a landline?
I have the VoIP.
You've got VoIP. Okay.
Now, of course, I have both. We have the T-Mobile at home service that I'm a connected fool here. We've got everything. So. VoIP, data line, Skype, you name it, cell phones. It's probably, I could reduce my family budget overhead a couple $100 a month by pruning this away a little bit. But, you know, what can I say? I'm a geek. So, Andy, what, and Carl, what, you know, you're both Mac users. You guys have went by the way of not going PCs anymore. What do you think about this Apple tablet?
Oh, you know, I'm excited by it. But man, that's going to be salty. I'm going to have to think if I'm seeing this isolate and that is late. And I'm surprised that they had that, if that's the name of it. I think it's going to be a game changer, but as Apple comes in, as they always have, at a very profitable point for them, that it's going to take a really dedicated early adopter to jump right in with both feet.
Personally, Carl, I'll let you add what you think about this, but I think what it's going to have, I think it's going to have a monster battery in it, and it's not. I don't think it's going to be as big as everyone think it's going to be, and all the pictures portray. I'm expecting about that big, and I'm expecting it to be an e-reader, movie watcher, digital. It'll be like a little portable. I don't think you're going to do a lot of computing on it. I think you're going to do a lot of entertaining on it. That's what I think they're coming out with. I think it's just going to be a grown-up iPod with a little more horsepower and a big, fat, juicy battery that'll let you go a long time, and probably with a built-in, I would almost bet, 3G or 4G WiMAX type of card in there. That's my guess.
I don't know. Carl, you looked at the Android and then backed away from it, and you're much less gadget susceptible than Todd and I are.
Yeah, I'm very unsusceptible right now, being on a student budget now for the next 2 years. Will help that I won't be succumbing. I only changed to the Mac 1 year ago, and I'll be on this box for a while.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you're a big Netflix fan, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so the ability to stream Netflix to this 10-inch screen, could be kind of nice there on the couch. And the other thing, I saw an item that there are more manufacturing details leaking out, and that one of the things that they're speculating is going to be included is a webcam built into it, so it could be used for exactly the the Skype sort of application.
It's interesting you said Netflix, because there's something on the wire today that, Netflix to this point, the reason that they have been able to stream videos is they made a partnership. Boy, I'm trying to find the article here. They made a partnership with a company that, who was it? Oh my gosh, I got to find this. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Okay. They made a deal. Who was the deal they made it with?
Warner Brothers. I remember that they were very clever the way they did that. It was kind of like
It was Starz.
Starz, yes.
Yeah, okay. They made a deal with Starz. And somehow Starz had the rights to stream videos on the internet. Well, Starz no longer has that right. That was taken away in a recent agreement. So movie studios are obviously not happy with the ability of those of us that love Netflix to be able to stream stuff to our Roku boxes, our computers. And the movie studios do not want Netflix to be allowed to stream any more movies. And this is obviously a money play by the studios here. But I don't know how Netflix is going to get out of this without having to, fork over some serious cash. But Hollywood right now is saying that Netflix is the enemy, and they want, they're looking for blood. So while I watched seasons 1 through 4 of Lost over the holiday period, and we were going to start season 5 tonight, I just wonder how long that's going to last.
Well, I think they were very clever in the beginning, because while the first run rights had actually gone, from movies that had just come out of the theaters and had just gone to DVD, where they were quite limited, which is why your selection is so miserable on Apple TV and Amazon.
Yep.
For immediate movies, they got the rights to the back catalog.
Yeah,
and what made it particularly elegant was that they just happened to have 10 years worth of long tail data that they knew which movies would rent and which movies would be popular out of all those thousands of properties. And in fact, Carl, that's a question: do you stream your videos live, or do you actually mail the discs back and forth?
I usually have the discs, and just because I don't have anything streaming to my TV, it streams to my laptop. So if I'm actually out of the hard videos, then I will stream to my laptop. But that means sitting at my computer or taking the computer to bed. And I did it for a while and decided I'd rather be watching them on the TV set.
Well, that's what this this $89 Roku box is just. I'm just so pleased with that thing. And in fact, flipping through there, our wrap up from Tech Forum is on. If you go to on the Roku box, you go to Blip TV, and just search for Tech, and you've got Tech Podcast the A channel, and you got Tech Podcast the back channel. And you know, our daily wrap ups from Tech Forum are on there, the back channel, and it looks pretty good on the plasma.
One thing I want to remind, One thing I want to remind all the listeners is if you have a Roku or any box that will basically has Blip as a channel, because I know some of the other devices are adding it, but primarily a Roku, you don't have to watch on your computer. You can set it your as we add stuff to the stream. Near real time, you're going to be able to sit in your living room and watch coverage from CES from the Tech Podcast team. It'll go in spurts. You know, we'll go out and collect data for 3 or 4 hours and then go upload data for 3 or 4 hours. And, you know, in between, be doing a lot of shuffling. But just pay attention to the Tech Podcast Network's primary and back channel feed on the Roku underneath the Blip banner. And you're going to see lots of content. Of course, you can watch Geek News Central on your Roku box as well. Now, we're also going to be on TiVo. So we're on TiVo as well. And what else? There was one other place where you can watch the video easily. Well, yeah. You can watch them online at Geek News Central, SDR News, Geekazine.com, or TechPodcast.com as well.
Right, right. Kara, one of the things we talked about a little bit was how difficult it is to plot your route and allocate your teams vis-a-vis bandwidth. And maybe you could speak to what our plans are. And the best laid plans are going to kind of get warped as we get into reality. But what's our plan as far as bandwidth is concerned?
I haven't heard one that I believe yet.
Well, you know, I was as I was asking the lady at Sprint today, who happened to be in Las Vegas in a call center, I said, you know, what's the rumor there in town? Do you guys have enough towers in place? Does Clear and you have enough, you know, are you guys going to be able to handle this? And she says, well, I know they're nervous. It's a true test. So we'll see how it works out. I know that we're going to be exercising both. See, I'm taking a Clear WiMAX box. You're taking a Clear connection. I'm taking a Sprint WiMAX /3G. So there is 3 WiMAX connections. And you know what? They're going to be full throttle upload the entire time we're there. So that's at least 3 1-meg pipes that are going to be pushing continuously. So we'll see how well they do.
Yeah, I think Kara's made some arrangements for a colleague there who actually lives in Las Vegas. I think that the winner in this contest is going to be the Western Digital Drive that gets handed off each night.
Yeah,
and Rick takes it home and uploads it. I think that's the bandwidth that's going to come through for us. I think,
or you know, it would almost be better to FedEx this thing to like the Philippines or someplace and let them upload it from there. It probably will get up on the net faster. Now, I think I saw today that was it Gizmodo that has been dubbed the official blogging team of CES. You know, you gotta hand it to those guys. How many people did they have in Vegas last year? 23 or 24, something like that?
Something like that.
So they're going to, and I think they have a trailer. That's where they were at last year, was an actual trailer where they're actually going to be, I'm sure they've got a big stiff pipe into that and probably lots of sponsors to support them. And I tell you, if you are a vendor in Vegas, or if you are a company in Vegas, and or even exhibitor in Vegas, and you have significant bandpipe in your booth or in your suite in your hotel, we would love to absolutely give you lots of promotion, lots of plugs across our interviews during the time we're in Vegas. If you hook a brother up, you can contact me at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, anybody that has any comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at +1 619-342-7365. Kara, so are you excited as I am about Vegas?
I am. I thrive on taking chaos and trying to organize it. So it's kind of a dream project for me.
Oh, you are going to love this.
We bought you boatloads of chaos, and we haven't even sent you half the emails yet.
Great.
Oh, gosh. You know, it's been coming in fast and furious today, and I haven't even had a chance to look at who's pitching today. But, you know, the thing is, though, the emails are kind of a distraction because when we go walk about, I guess that's a good way to say it, when we go walk in the floors, often the best finds of the show are going to be the mom and pop shop that have the 10x10 booth. They scrape the absolute last penny or max their credit cards out to the max to be at that show. They can't hire a PR company. You've got the founder. You've got the guy that's designed it right there in the booth, and they're make or breaking their company on this show. And that is where we're going to find the best products at CES. Now, every year, we found those vendors that no one else covered. You know, the Engadgets, the Gizmodos, the CNETs, they don't even go looking for them. That's where we're going to make our money. That's where we're going to find the best products at CES. We'll obviously talk to the big companies as well, but isn't that true, Andy? Those small vendors.
It is, and that's kind of where the fun is, because in the larger companies, they're very glad to see you and so forth, but they have an elaborate PR machine. They have very restrictive rules as far as who can talk to the press, and you know, if you ask certain questions, they'll just defer and say, I'm sorry, we can't talk about that, and let's just scratch this and we'll start over, we'll go somewhere else, or we'll go to a different topic, and please don't use that tape. And of course we agree not to use that material, because, you know, we're kind of respecting, they've got their job to do as well. But it is really rewarding to find these smaller companies and help them out, and they're helping us out to provide things that are interesting to our listeners and viewers as well. Because, you know, people can find out about the major introductions from these established channels, but they're not going to find out about the smaller companies, number one. And also, because of the back channel, you can get some idea of what it is really like, and the glamour index of the trade show versus, you know, what the reality of it is. Oftentimes, there's a mismatch.
I had told when we were last 2 years ago, we were over in the Sands, and I found this really cool product. And this guy, man, he put on one heck of a display. And I was like, man, this is good stuff. It really, really is. And I'm telling Andy, we need to go back. We need to go back by there before we get out of there. I need to show you this so he could see it. And this is where I really had a big lesson in CES. When we went back, that guy was there, and he basically presented to Andy, without missing a beat, the same exact, it was scripted. Everything is 100% scripted. All these companies have practiced for months to be ready for the questions. They went through question banks and answers. They practiced. And usually the bigger the booth, the more scripted they are. So our goal when we're there is to really ask the question that they don't have in their script book, or catch them off guard and get the answer that they don't want on the street. That's the key. And maybe you're not always going to accomplish that. Maybe, you know, one out of 20 interviews, but that interview is the one that you want to really focus in on, especially if you get the guy a little bit off tilt and they start, you know, if the PR people are watching, sorry. But it is true. You know, you're looking for that piece of information, especially in public companies. If they have a three-letter designation on the stock market, there is some, or four or five or whatever they're, a stock number or letter may be, there's certain information that they can't put out because you may come up with a scoop that says, hey, in 2 months, they're releasing product X. It's going to cause their stock to go up $5 a share. So they have to be really careful. So our goal is to kind of dig that out of them and get them to, without admitting it, admit it. And really, then you've got some juice. You've got some juicy stuff.
Yeah, I wish I had a black magic marker right now. Todd, your eyebrows kind of pointed up there, and your evil plan has been revealed.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily evil. It's just that's what we're there to do, and that's what we're there to find for the listeners of the show. And at the same time, you know, we'll deal with the PR folks and the, but you know, it is very scripted. But you know, they spend, what is the budget of one of those big booths? $1 million?
Yeah. I used to work for a large company before Carr and I were together, and this is probably 15 years ago. We had literally over $1 million in the booth, and the booth was actually three stories in height, where you would have individual meeting rooms and overlooking balconies, and you know, just the excess of the late 80s or early 90s, and it was really something to just something to see.
So I'm watching on Ustream here. We've got about we've got a nice little group of people watching. And is there any questions anybody has in the stream tonight? Go ahead and put that up in chat. I'm kind of the format's a little different today, so I can kind of watch the IRC. Actually, my daughter is and son are flying back from Michigan in the morning. They go to O'Hare and actually fly out to, I think they have to be at the airport at 5 or 6 a.m. tomorrow morning for a flight. And they'll be home back here in Hawaii tomorrow afternoon. But they just mentioned up in chat, said, "Hey, Dad, miss you. See you tomorrow." So kids are watching. That's a first for them.
Hey, speaking of watching, whose night was it to watch Jeffrey?
Well, Jeffrey is in Vegas. He's not in Vegas. He's doing his gig tonight. He's drumming tonight at a New Year's Eve party.
That's what I figured, but it wasn't my day to watch him. And Carr, I don't know whether you take responsibility for that or not.
No, I will not take responsibility for Jeffrey at all in the next week.
Well, you know, it's always fun to have, and you will find that the group will get pretty close because
sometimes ornery.
Yeah, we kid around a lot. But in years past, we've had certain cameramen who wandered off, and you always know where they were. And easy to find if they were missing. And
it's sometimes better to have a married cameraman because they don't get distracted easy.
Especially in automotive. In the North Hall there.
Hey, Andy, we love you. Don't worry. We want you back at CES another year.
Yeah, Andy, and you've met Andy as well. So not Andy B, not me.
Yeah, Andy B. Yeah. So matter of fact, you know, I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said someone was looking for a screen protector for their television. And my buddy, who was in the room, he was actually like, oh, you need to see Todd's video. And I didn't even know he had watched the video. And the guy's like, what video? And I said, oh, you got to look at this. So come over here. Of course, I Googled it up and I found it. And I saw Andy's famous almost broke the display water bottle throw. It really wasn't a softball pitch, but...
There was some spin on it.
Actually,
like more like football.
So I showed him that video and I got to go to that company. So he actually here, what was that, last year or 2 years?
Oh, geez. I can't remember. I was so embarrassed once. You know, it's like,
I think it was last year. It was when we had Andy, but anyway, so he says, I want to order one of those things. I says, when you order it, you make sure you tell them that you saw the video on CES and believe in your product because of that. I know we've sold a bunch of screen protectors because of that video. So, but yes, Andy, please keep your softball, your football pitching. We'll save that for the football field, not for displays at CES.
Another one for the rule books. Don't throw things.
Well, it was, they asked us, we asked if we could. Do you know the full backstory, Cara?
I've seen it.
Yeah, you know. So Andy, you know, so that wasn't hard enough. So I need to throw another one. And what's funny is the television is being filmed, and you see this sinister look, you know, reaching into a rummage around in a bag, trying to find another water bottle. And then it kind of, I don't know, you must have stepped back or something. Next thing you know, you see this object come flying in the television screen goes, ooh. So, it was fun. But that was over in the sands. Well, we've gone about 55 minutes, folks, and I'm not going to go super long today on the show. It is New Year's Eve, after all, and you guys are about 3 hours away from flipping into 2010 there on the East Coast. Andy, any predictions for 2000? Well, I know you're in Elkhart. I know you guys wish the economy would get better because you guys have been hit so hard there. Any predictions for 2010, Andy?
Well, I think that that there will be some improvement even in our local situation here. My concern is, you know, a lot of the discussion is the economy, or is the recovery going to be, you know, a gradual recovery, a U-shaped recovery, or are we going to have a W-shaped recovery?
Yeah.
And I think that's the big concern that people in this area, and I personally am concerned about. I think that we have not even begun to see the impact of social media and how that is going to affect all forms of advertising, communication, and so forth. I think that's going to be really profound because it's moved past the early adopter stage. It's into a serious majority. And I think that a lot of the turmoil we're seeing in the news business, the entertainment business, is going to accelerate vis-a-vis what we've seen the past year or two. So I think it's going to be big, big changes coming in 2010.
Carl, what's your predictions for 2010?
I was just scratching my head because I knew you were coming to me next, and coming up blank.
You know,
heads down on this project right now.
I know that, you know, the audience that listens to this show knows already where I'm headed with this show. Having announced a couple of weeks ago, basically going towards a salary replacement plan through donations by the audience members and then taking the advertising dollars and ramping up to bring more people into the fold here at Geek News Central. So we'll see how that goes over the next year. But, you know, I'm looking at where we were January 1 of 2009 and where we're going to be January 1, 2010 with Raw Voice. And, you know, I really have to knock on wood here. I really do. I have to be thankful because we had a gangbuster year. We had really a really good year. And not a lot of companies can say that. And I'm very thankful and humbled. I think that, you know, shows like yours, Andy, you're a placeholder for, you know, part of the Tech Podcast Network. There's other shows that are at Blueberry who are definitely placeholders as well. In other words, shows that have, when I say placeholders, shows that have significant audience sizes that are, you know, very loyal and have followed for many years. And I know that you're considering some changes over there at SDRnews.com. You're going to be looking at some format changes possibly in 2010. But, you know, I think what I predict is going to happen is that finally, the companies have woken up to value of user-generated media, and I think we're going to see more dollars being spent our way. We just have to make sure that we are meeting the social media goals of those companies through this medium and known as podcasting, because really, podcasting was the very first social media, as far as I'm concerned, was the very first social media outlet. So I've actually got my little 6-year-old, he's in the house right now. You probably hear him in the background yakking. I didn't close the door today. But, I don't know what's going to happen with the overall economy. I'm really worried about that with inflation, with the dollar and everything else. That's for the economists to figure out. But from me, I just want to thank the entire podcast family that listens to this show and also the listeners, of course, because without the podcasters, we would not be able to do what we do. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yep.
As they say, may you live in interesting times, and I think we do. I think one of the other things that you've probably seen some of the retrospectives of what was the state of the art in cell phones 10 years ago.
Yep.
The changes that we have seen the past decade, again, the acceleration of that from the device standpoint, from the services standpoint, a lot of these things that have begun to accelerate the past 5 years in particular, I think, are going to continue to move at an even faster rate.
Now, Andy, you're going to get a laugh out of this one here, and actually I think it's well-deserved. Now, I don't know how much weight we put behind Slate.com, but Person of the Decade, and this comes from Dave Weiner's website. He says, you're not going to believe this. Slate's Culture Podcast chose three people as Person of the Decade, and they were George W. Bush, Paris Hilton, and Dave Weiner. It's the weirdest thing. They said my name, and no one said, who's that? I don't think it was a joke, and it was for a good thing, podcasting. And they're right about how nice it is to have all these great podcasts to listen to. He goes on to say, I didn't make a dime off podcasting, but in a more important way, I did get rich from it. There's an incredible wealth of stuff to listen to. It really took off, and it's something I'm really proud of. I made a comment on a blog post that was over on podcastingnews.com yesterday talking about where some site had said that some radio site that podcasting was like the number four thing of the decade. And they did not mention Dave. They did mention Adam, but I think it should be noted that without Adam Curry and Dave Weiner's leadership in the space in the very, very beginning, we would not be where we are today. Of course, Adam continues to lead the group over there at Mevio, and Dave continues to do innovative stuff. But, you know, it was a pretty, you know, sitting in a little hotel room out in Waco, Texas, and, you know, hearing my first podcast with Dave Weiner made me sit back and say, holy crap, I've got to do this. And what was your moment, Andy, that made you realize I need to get on the bandwagon here?
I think that my motivation was kind of different. My motivation came from traveling for business from town to town. And I would be listening to the oldies station, and I'd hear a song they hadn't heard for 35 years. I said, okay, that's pretty cool. I enjoyed that song. Then you know, a week later, I'd be in a different town, and I'd hear the same song again.
Oh.
Now, this is a song that had not, you know, hadn't been played for a long, long time. And then I came to realize all across the country, it was homogeneous. That the only reason I was hearing it was that some guy had programmed that from Clear Channel. Clear Channel owned, you know, hundreds of stations. And it got to the point where I realized that having, you know, 90% of the radio stations in this country owned by basically three corporations, to me, that was just wrong. And then to find that all of a sudden, here's a technology that allows a person to begin to broadcast and create content that's of interest to them or important to them, or that gives a musical artist a break that they wouldn't have had normally, in addition to the political aspect of having the ability to have a wide range of things on the air, was just an incredible opportunity. And then to think that you could do that with a Dell laptop and a headset from Walmart.
Yeah.
That was just, as soon as I put those things together, it was just like, man, I've got to be in the midst of this.
Well, that we are, and how it has evolved. And, you know, if you had asked me 6 years ago that if I was sitting here doing this, I'd have said, you have absolute rocks in your head. I would have never imagined 6 years ago that today would be where in the evolvement of this thing. I mean, it was such a departure from what I used to do. It is just believe. Well, we lost Andy. That was interesting. Well, I tell you what, and we'll see if Andy calls back in here. But again, it's been an amazing ride. It's been a fun year. I know many of you are hoping for a better 2010, and I'm hoping we have a better 2010. And I know some of our listeners are unemployed right now, and we hope that you have good jobs, success, and better, you know, for the 2010 year. I'm going to save all the email comments and the voicemail comments that came in over the last 3 days. I'm going to save those for my first show in Vegas. I will be doing the regular Monday night show. We'll record it in Vegas for a Tuesday morning release. There will be no Thursday show or no Friday show next week because of the of Vegas, but there will be another Monday show in Vegas. It'll be my last night in Vegas before I fly out. So we'll be doing the two next audio shows will be in Las Vegas. Now, for those of you that are subscribed to the stream, the only thing that I'm going to be putting in the actual podcast feed are the daily wrap-ups that we do each day after CES. All of the other content, and I'll have links to this particular feed, all of the other content will be in our special media feed. Okay, now you don't necessarily see that on the website, but I'll have that linked up there. You can subscribe to it. You can subscribe to it via iTunes. And there's also now an actual video feed for the regular podcast that's in iTunes as well. But the special media feed was where all of the CES content is going to go, because I don't want to, you know, throw 100 videos down the regular podcast pipe at you over the next month here. But we will do our daily wrap-up shows, our Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday wrap-up shows will be in the regular podcast feed. That's about a 15-minute video that you'll have from us. So again, next Monday's night show when I record on Ustream will be released Tuesday morning as normal. Then you'll see 4 videos come through the feed midweek. Make sure you're downloading every day or you're going to miss them, okay? Then the following week, we'll have a Monday show in Vegas, and then I'll return home to Hawaii to resume regular schedule. Special media feed is where all the video stuff will be. Cara and Andy, I know, Andy, you dropped off for a second, but I want to thank all of you for spending some time with me here today as we kind of wrapped up 2009. And we'll see each other live in person here in just a few short days.
Yep. Thanks, Todd. And Andy says he's sorry. He won't do it again, whatever it was he just did.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So that's what you get for playing with the mouse while you're up on Skype, Andy. So everyone else, thanks. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for being part of the family. And everyone have a happy new year. And until next time, everyone take care. And aloha.